Prabhupada's departure, Maharaj took sannyas initiation. Right now, Maharaj lives in Carpentria in California, but travels all over the world preaching. And we are very, very fortunate to have him with us here today to address all of us on this Sunday evening with a special Bhagavad Gita discourse. So let us welcome Maharaj to Radha Gopinath Temple by loudly chanting three times, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! And if this session of Madhav Prabhu and Radhika Mataji's Kirtan was ecstatic, please do wait back after 8:30 p.m. We are going to have the concluding session of Prabhuji's Kirtan. So 8:30 to 9:05, which will be the Shayan Darshan, we'll be having Prabhuji's Kirtan. So please do stay back. And after that, there is prasadam for everybody. Hari Bol!
Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prasadhyaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So during her talk, Her Grace Radhika Devi. Devi Dasi mentioned the 10 offenses, that to get the full benefit of chanting, we should avoid the 10 offenses. So I will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that discusses the glories of the holy name, and in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada discusses the 10 offenses. So we read, Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat. Etan Nirvidyamananam Ichatam Akuta Yoginam Nripa Nirnitam Hare Nama Anu Kirtanam Etan Nirvidyamananam Ichatam Akutobayam Yoginam Ripanirnitam Harinam Anukirtanam Etan Nirvidyamananam Ichatam Akutobayam Yoginam Ripanirnitam Harinam Anukirtanam. Please repeat. Etat. It is. Nirvidyamananam. Of those who are completely free from all material desires. Ichatam. Of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Akutabhayam, free from all doubts and fears. Yoginam, of all who are self-satisfied. Nripa, O King, Nirnitam, decided truth, Hare, of the Lord, Sri Krishna, Nama, holy name, Anu, after someone. Always, kirtanam, chanting. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Please repeat. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord, after the ways of the great authorities, is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So if we think of ourselves, we'll find that we fall in one of these categories, or maybe more than one. So this is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all of us. And this is a beautiful translation that Srila Prabhupada has made, because the word Anu means to follow, just like we are followers of Rupa Goswami, so we are Rupanugas, and Anu also means always. And so Srila Prabhupada has combined the two meanings very beautifully in the translation. Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. That's most people. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that someone may drop his wallet and someone may come along and find it and take the money for himself. So such a person is a thief. Another person may come along and see the wallet and think, this does not belong to me, and he will just leave it. But a third person will come along and find the wallet and think, I should find out to whom the wallet belongs and return it to him. So the first category, they're mentioned here, like those who are desirous of all material enjoyment. They want to keep the money for themselves and enjoy it. The second person is like the self-satisfied person who doesn't want to enjoy something that doesn't belong to him. But the third person is a devotee. He wants to find out to whom the money belongs and return it to him. And everything belongs to Krishna, and so a devotee wants to engage everything in Krishna's service. And that will make Krishna happy, and that will also bring satisfaction to the devotee. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotee can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. As Srila Prabhupada said about himself, first Krishna tested him by taking everything away from him, and then Krishna tested him by giving him everything. So both are tests, whether we will stay with Krishna or not. If Krishna takes everything away from us, will we run after the things that Krishna took away, or will we stay with Krishna? Or if Krishna gives us everything, will we try to enjoy what Krishna gave us, or will we stay with Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada said of himself that first Krishna tested me by taking everything away, and then Krishna tested me by giving me everything. In this verse, Sri Shukadev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, then with the attributes of the Lord, then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. So nama, rupa, guna, lila, we begin with nama, with the holy name, and by offenses chanting of the holy name, we become acquainted with rupa, the form of the Lord, the beautiful form of the Lord, guna, the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and lila, the divine pastimes of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is recommended that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, about his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has enumerated 64 items of devotional service. He has taken the 9 items mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj, Navavidhi Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. And he's also analyzed the Shravanam, Kirtanam. So he's analyzed and made one item, Namakirtan, then Rupa Kirtan, the beautiful form of the Lord, Guna Kirtan, the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and Lila Kirtan, the divine pastimes of the Lord. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but even for those who are materially attached. As earlier Radhika referred to the verse, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So akama means one who has no desires. Sarvakama means one who is full of desires, and mokshakama means one who is desirous of liberation. All of them, tivrena bhakti yogena, all of them should engage in devotional service very strongly. Tivrena means very strongly. So it doesn't matter. This verse also says the same thing. It doesn't matter. Akama, you have no desire. Sarvakama, you're full of desires. Mokshakama, you desire liberation. It doesn't matter. But engage in forceful devotional service, and you will be successful. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. So therefore, it is said here, decided truth. Nirnitam, decided truth. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievements as fruitive workers, we could say karmis, as philosophers, say gyanis, or as devotees of the Lord, as bhaktas. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs the chanting of the holy name should be done loudly, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam vraja aham kam sarva papebhyo mokshayiṣyami ma sucha. Surrender to the Lord, he frees you from all sinful reactions. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Did you know that the holy name has feet? Well, it does, because it's the Lord himself. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. Yes, this is sadhu ninda. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has elaborately discussed the 10 offenses in his book, Sri Harinam Chintamani. And he discusses in detail about sadhu ninda. And he mentions different grounds on which someone might criticize a sadhu. But then he goes on to explain that none of those grounds justify sadhu ninda. The second offense is to see the holy name of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names. But that does not in any way qualify, which means limit, the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. So Srila Prabhupada had a very intelligent disciple named Atreya Rishi Das, who was originally from Iran. And when Srila Prabhupada visited Iran, Atreya Rishi Prabhu began to wax eloquent about the day when all the Muslims would chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, why do you want them to chant only Hare Krishna? They can chant Allah, Allah. We are not sectarian. So that is the point that Srila Prabhupada is making here. And also in that context, in Iran, it might have been dangerous if he tried to get everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So there's also a practical side to the instruction. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual master. Yes, Gurur Avagya, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. Well, there are different degrees of offense. This was illustrated when the sages wanted to determine who was the supreme, Brahma, Shiva, or Vishnu. And they sent Bhrigu Muni to test them. So first Bhrigu Muni approached Lord Brahma, who was his father, and he neglected to offer him respect, as he should have, to his father, and Lord Brahma became angry. But then he controlled himself with his great intelligence. So that is considered an offense within the mind. He didn't say anything or do anything, but he just neglected to show respect when he should have. So that's the mildest kind of offense, an offense within the mind. Next, he visited Lord Shiva, who was his brother. And Lord Shiva came forward to embrace him. And he said, oh, don't touch me. You're contaminated. You're always associated with ghosts and hobgoblins, and you have dust all over your body. Don't touch me. So that was considered a more severe offense, an offense with the words. Then finally, he went to Lord Vishnu, who was reclining and having his feet massaged by Lakshmi Devi. And Bhrigu Muni committed the most severe type of offense by actually kicking the chest of Lord Vishnu. But the Lord was so sublime, he said, oh, Bhrigu Muni, please forgive me for not receiving you properly. I hope you didn't hurt your lotus foot by kicking my hard chest. So that was an offense with the body. That was the most severe. And Lord Vishnu showed himself to be the supreme and so sublime in his characteristics. So, on this point about the Vedic scriptures. So it would be considered, of course this mentions, you know, vilifying the Vedic scriptures, of course that would be an offense with the words, but it's also a subtle offense not to read the books, not to attend the classes in the scriptures. I mean, Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to give us these books. He hardly slept at night, maybe from 10 to midnight, and then he would get up and he would translate his books for us. So we should make his labor fruitful by reading the books, studying the books, and applying what we have read in our lives. So yeah, the fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshiper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful person before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activities. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. So, in 1973, just nearby here at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, Srimati Leelavati Munshi, who was the head of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, organized a conference, the theme of which was that the Bhagavad Gita could solve all problems. And before the conference began in the evening, she had a meeting in her library with various participants. And I was also there with Srila Prabhupada. And there was one man, I don't remember his name, but he had long white hair and a long beard. And he said to Srila Prabhupada that he was gathering people together and getting them to chant the holy name and telling them that if they chanted the holy name, they could get free from their material ailments. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, I'm gathering people together and you're gathering people together. I'm getting people to chant the holy name and you're getting people to chant the holy name. We should cooperate. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. What you are proposing is against our principles. And he made the same point that the holy name is Krishna himself and we are servants of Krishna, servants of the holy name. We are not meant to try to use the holy name for our material purposes. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and its chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. Means for material purposes. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effects of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under the false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. So Burijan Prabhu says that people are walking around with the psychology excuse me, please. I have an important announcement to make. I am the center of the universe and everyone should cooperate with me and fulfill my desires. He also said that most people envision their life as a drama or as a movie in which they are the hero or the heroine and everyone else is the supporting cast. So we can imagine there's bound to be conflict because I'm the hero, you're meant to support me. No. I'm the hero, you're meant to support me. So, yeah, all these illusions are meant to be destroyed. I mean, the factual effect of proper chanting is that we destroy this false egoism, as it is rendered in the Nectar of Devotion. The tenth offense is to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. So, Srila Prabhupada instructed that after Mangalarti we read the list of 10 offenses before we begin japa. And generally devotees read the list from the Nectar of Devotion. And then a devotee will add, and it is also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. Now, the Sanskrit for the 10 offenses, as mentioned in the Padma Purana, can be divided in different ways. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has divided the Sanskrit in such a way that the ninth offense, pramadaha, is inattention. And he says that by attentive chanting of the holy names, all the other offenses are destroyed. And by being inattentive while chanting, all the other offenses flourish. So it's most important to be attentive. I have facilitated japa workshops and japa retreats with different devotees. And at one of them, Mahatma Prabhu said that devotees have become very expert in using their left hands, because while their right hand is in the bead bag with their left hand, they're checking their emails, they're dusting, they're doing so many things. But we should not do that. And another thing he quoted once, one devotee said that, I used to think that my japa was getting in the way of my life. But now I think my life is getting in the way of my japa. So, Hare Krishna, we have a few more minutes. And thank you for listening so patiently and attentively. And if any of you have any questions or comments, any reflections you'd like to share, you can raise your hand. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. Maharaj, my question is that what are the practical and effective ways to improve our chanting?
Well, it's good to chant early in the morning during the Brahma Muhurta, which begins 1 hour and 32 minutes before sunrise. And it's good to chant in front of Tulsi Devi, our Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. He would chant in front of Tulsi. And it's good to chant in some place where you won't be disturbed or distracted. And if you have the facility, you can chant with other sincere chanters, and their association could also help you remain focused in your japa. Sometimes devotees play tapes of Srila Prabhupada's japa. Once he came into the temple room in Dallas and they were playing his japa tape. And he said, you should be listening to your japa, not mine. But there are temples, like in Los Angeles, they play Srila Prabhupada's japa tape. But I always advise them to play it at the level of volume of the general devotees chanting. So it's there. We get the benefit of Srila Prabhupada's vibration of the holy name. But it's not so loud that we end up listening to his japa and not our own. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I heard that because of the offenses, sometimes we can't chant properly. Like it's a vice versa type of situation. Like because of some offense, there is effect on the effect on our chanting. So, Prabhuji, like you said, if we chant attentively, it will erase all other offenses. So, what is the connection? Like, if I did some offense, I can't chant properly. So, how can I do attentive chanting and clear all other 10 offenses?
Well, some of the offenses are committed while chanting, such as being inattentive. And some offenses are committed when you're not chanting. And the first offense, sadhu ninda, a Vaishnava aparad, it has its own method of becoming free. If you offend a Vaishnav, then the recommended method is to approach the Vaishnav and apologize for the offense and beg forgiveness. And then you can get, you know, relief from the effects of that offense of the Vaishnav aparad. Yeah, we have to be very careful about that one. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for a very wonderful class and nectar of Srila Prabhupada. So, Maharaj, my question is, you narrated the incident of Srila Prabhupada in Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, that other gentleman quoting that we use chanting for healing people. So in that particular line, when we see other Vaishnavas going through some serious diseases or things like that, so we are also chanting to some extent to help them recover from their illness or any other situations. So how do we reconcile this particular thing, that are we supposed to chant for other devotees while they are going through some of these difficult health issues and pray to Krishna in that sense to help them in their health? How do we understand this?
Well, personally, I wouldn't use japa for that purpose. But we can chant the Nrisinga prayers for them. That's, I think that would be an appropriate way of praying for their recovery. But yeah, when we chant japa, we should first and foremost hear the holy name and chant for the pleasure of the Lord. That's the basic principle of pure devotional service. Anyavilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. Rupa Goswami describes pure devotional service and So anukul, it should be favorable to the pleasure of Krishna. So we should chant for Krishna's pleasure, and when Krishna's pleased, then and automatically we're also pleased.
Thank you, Maharaj.
There's two questions. We need the mic.
Hare Krishna.
Ladies first.
Yeah. Always.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaji. I've actually been thinking about this for a couple of days, so I thought I'll take this opportunity. I was listening to a lecture by Radhanath Swami Maharaj on Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 37 and 38. It was in the context of his discussion around the demigods. And he mentioned that the Gita says that Krishna is the doer of everything and everybody else is a tool, and even the demigods are. They can't function without his blessings, his power. So neither can we. Now, what I was trying to reconcile that with is that at any given moment in time, like whether we are committing an offense or I'm asking a question or all of us listening, at this moment, are we being tools for Krishna's will, or are we exercising that infinitesimal free will that we have at any given moment in time? I feel in retrospect, we can see God's hand in everything and be grateful for the good things that happen and be grateful for the bad things that happen because it teaches lessons. But at any given point in time, how do I know whether I'm exercising my free will that's full of this conditioned form, or I'm being this transparent tool to exercise Krishna's will? Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. How do you know if something that happens to you is Krishna's will? There's six principles of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. First is to accept whatever is favorable for devotional service and to accept whatever is unfavorable. So if the circumstances in which you have been put can be used for Krishna's service, then that's well and good. I mean, we could take it as Krishna's arrangement. But if the circumstances are not favorable for Krishna's service, there's no harm in trying to change the circumstances. It doesn't mean that we're not surrendered to Krishna's will, but it means, you know, we're using our intelligence to better serve Krishna. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What a beautiful opportunity for all of these devotees to have, you know, your grace, who was, you know, associated with the right from the day of, you know, Juhu temple with the Prabhupada. I have few clarification right from the Padma Purana, which you mentioned that Nama, Rupa, Guna and the Leela. What a beautiful explanation, which we need to follow it. But what I asked you, sir, Prabhuji, that neutralizing the effect of the sin, the common man is, you know, perplexed. If you can, you know, give simple one or two steps we need to follow. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
What was the last thing? Can you repeat the last two sentences? Somehow I missed what you were saying.
It relates to Padma Purana, which you referred. That's right. W-
What I want you to explain to the common man, how does he follow this such an, expansive, devotion to the Lord Krishna? Because you mentioned that, staying with the Lord is a very difficult thing on today's given, situation for a common man.
How to neutralize the effects of sins for the common man? Well, first is surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman pratyaja mamekam saranam vraja am tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi syami matsucha. And the other is to chant the holy names. But of course we should not intentionally commit sin on the strength of chanting, thinking that we'll neutralize the effects of the sin. But if we have somehow or other committed sin and we want to be free from the effects, then we can take shelter of the holy name, which means taking shelter of Krishna, but in a most accessible and merciful form. Yes. Can we get the microphone? Oh, you, all right. First of all, what is your name and what is your age?
My name is Divya Krishna, given by Radhana Swami Maharaj.
Sorry?
My name is Divya Krishna, given by Radhanath Swami Maharaj.
Okay.
And my age is 11.
Your age is 7?
11. Maharaj, I just wanted to share one shloka on chanting of the holy name in Srimad Bhagavatam. It comes in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The shloka is Kaler Doshani De Rajan Asti Yeko Mahan Guna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Rajet. So Maharaj, in this shloka, Sukhdev Goswami is saying to Parikshit Maharaj that Kaler Dosha Nidhe Rajan, this Kalyuga is an ocean of faults, but Asti Heko Mahan Guna, this Kalyuga has one great quality, and that quality is that by chanting the holy name of the Lord sincerely, we can get delivered from this material existence, Mukta Sangha Param Rajet, and we can return to Lord Krishna.
Wonderful, beautiful. You're a future preacher. Well, actually, you've already started preaching. All right, we have 1 minute. There was a hand up over there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is regarding the chanting. Can you share any personal experience or antidotes illustrating the transformative power of chanting in one's life? Your personal experience, life.
Well, in Juhu, we faced many complications and much opposition. But during that whole struggle, I would get great strength from my japa. I would get, the strength to face all the obstacles. And I would also get the clarity, the intelligence, how to deal with them. So, yeah. And I mean, usually I would do that in the morning, but sometimes it would happen later in the day if some there was some complication. I would just chant extra rounds, and the holy name would reveal how best to proceed. What's the minimum? Do you have some minimum number that you're chanting now? Well, that's nice. So, authorities recommend we should have some minimum that we chant every day without fail. And if by chance we miss some one day, then we have to make them up. So even if someone's not at the level of 16 or 20, you fix some minimum. And again, as I said, you do that without fail. And by chance, if you miss, then you make up what you missed, and then you can gradually increase your number. And 20, that's good. That's good. I'll rise to your service. So now we will have more kirtan.